Welcome to Maximum Geek. I'm Jeff Kirvin.
And I'm Josh Curry, and we're geeky.
Or so the show says. Tonight we're going to talk...
That's pretty obvious. I probably don't need to tell people that, huh?
Tonight we're going to talk about the concept of serials. We've discussed before that, you know, the new publishing company that we're launching, Solo Media, deals in serials rather than full-length novels. Of course, the irony of that is that a really good serial can last far longer than a novel would. I mean, in terms of total word count, I expect to be, well, incredibly verbose. But,
Okay, that wouldn't be any different than right now, so... You're already incredibly verbose, Jeff. I don't think you need to strive to be verbose.
What? No, I wake up in the morning and verbosity's right there on my checklist. Really?
Maximum verbosity! And
so anyway,
anybody else play the Infocom games? Okay, anyway.
We... Ow, Hitchhiker's Guide flashback. Stupid dog at the beginning. Oh, okay.
Damn, I hated that dog.
Okay.
Alright, so we're talking about cereals. Not the breakfast kind, but the literary kind.
I could go for some Frosted Flakes right about now.
Golden Grahams, man. Golden Grahams.
No, there's too much cinnamon in those. I get migraines.
Good. So I should order you a crate. Did I say that out loud?
We thought it would be interesting to discuss how we came up with the idea of doing a serial as opposed to other literary forms, and why we think this is the literary form of the future. I talk a lot about how we're reinventing publishing, and yes, that's overbloated marketing speak, but I honestly believe it too. I really think that that we're going to completely change the way stories are told. Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't be a writer and not be egotistical. Anytime that you're going to sit there and go, I'm going to make these little black marks on a piece of paper, and they're going to be so impressive, other people will pay money for them. That takes some chutzpah.
I left my chutzpah. Can I just have some, some ah? Oh, a spa. Sorry. I'm going to stop being off-topic boy now.
I don't think you will.
Let's start a little bit about why we decided on cereals.
We got into cereals by accident.
This is the next big thing,
and we stumbled into it.
We started with comics, which are a serial type of storytelling, for the most part. I mean, you know, ongoing comics, and that was really what we started with. So it was kind of a natural thing to consider, at least when we started. I don't know that we really thought of it as this giant leap at first. We were just saying, well, let's take these comic stories let's take these comic stories we're doing and make them into prose, and then but keep the same kind of publishing model. Same kind of, you know, chapter type publishing model.
It's one of those things that just kind of fell into place. As you know, we started off with comics, and then we realized that at the rate I draw, we really don't have time to wait for each issue.
One comic every 6 months would have been really dismal.
Yeah. And since especially
I
considering
can't draw a
that
stick figure well, it was a problem.
Josh would have had to do all the coloring. I tried to teach Josh how to draw, and he is really abysmal.
Which is funny, because my dad was an excellent artist, and I'm an excellent driver. Definitely an excellent
but
my
so
dad,
knew
my
that
dad
was
really
coming.
Was a talented artist. I, however, stick figures
and,
are not me.
For those of you... Yeah, for those of you who are really into podcast and are expecting something like the recent Don and Drew show, Josh and I do in fact live in different states, and we wouldn't be doing that anyway. So anyway.
Okay. I have no idea what you're talking about. All right. Woo!
Don and Drew are a Very, yeah, they're actually, I think, the number one rated podcast right now. You didn't even know there were ratings, did you?
No. There are ratings.
Very sad. Just to kind of keep things spiced up, they recently decided to have sex on their podcast. So, yeah, we're not
all
doing
All right.
That.
Well,
anyway.
There will be no sex. Well, I can have sex with myself, yeah. But I don't want to listen to that.
Ew.
I'm a big man, and there's
and
a lot of
And now we've
breathing.
Lost all our listeners.
Quick, find them.
But, yeah, just...
There's only, like, four. Where are they? Hey.
As far as enjoy the podcast while Michael Powell still isn't looking. Anyway. Because he's coming after Stern on satellite radio, so, you know, we're next. All right. So, yeah, we've kind of stumbled.
Uncut, baby.
We're going to go with... I just flashed back to the South Park movie. We're going to start with comics. And, that didn't work out because, well, it was just taking far too long. And we decided, well, let's go back to prose. And we figured, well, if we're going to do prose, I mean, we'd always intended on e-distribution to begin with, which was kind of the weird thing about how we were doing comics, is we were actually going to do comics for PDAs, which other companies are now doing, and it's still kind of odd. And, I mean, as big into mobile tech as I am, it's odd, okay? But we were thinking, well, yeah. Yeah, prose, e-books, you know, those have, you know, e-books and PDAs have, you know, gone together like peanut butter and jelly since the beginning, so, yeah, this should be a slam dunk. And, something just clicked as soon as we put together e-books and the serial storytelling nature of comics. I mean, yeah, short fiction on PDAs had been tried before, but individual things, you know, fiction-wise got their start by doing short stories. And then as we got into the, you know, started thinking about, wait a minute, what about an ongoing? What about something that just, you know, a regular story that, you know, you could download to your PDA and read on your lunch hour once a month?
Well, I think one of the big things that went into it, too, was neither of us wanted to do anything that fit neatly into one novel or into a trilogy. We were looking at big, you know, we both always liked the epic kind of stories. We've liked things that really grab us, and this felt a little more, it felt like you really got to know the characters, and that's what I love about comics, and it was great to get to know your characters and see them again and again. And know that you could count on that. Like the Dirk Pitt novels.
Between
is one of my examples.
Yeah, between comics and Star Wars and Indiana Jones, I really got into, you know, epic sagas as a kid. And then when Babylon 5 came on when I was in the Air Force, that just kind of clinched it. I had never seen a story like that done on television before. And I've always wanted to do something along those lines. Not necessarily like, you know, Babylon 5 with the serial numbers filed off, but I've always wanted to tell a big, sweeping space opera, without worrying about, you know, how far or how wide it reaches and or how many pages I'm looking at.
Well, and one of my big, one of the first things I started reading was Doc Savage, which, if for those of you who don't know, Doc Savage is one of the very early serials. A lot of things originated in the pages of Doc Savage. For instance, the Fortress of Solitude is actually a reference to Doc Savage. It was in Doc Savage before it was ever a Superman thing. But it was a serial, and there was this great ensemble cast where you had Doc Savage, who was your main character, but he had all these supporting characters that were just a lot of fun to read about and had this really great dynamic. I really, really thought that if we could bring that kind of thing back, that would be amazing. There's a whole generation of people missing out on this kind of storytelling.
So, once we decided to do this, oddly enough, the serial that we had been working on for the comics fell by the wayside. It's something that I think we'll return to at some point, but you want to explain a little bit about Heroes 101?
Well, initially, it was our comic series, and then we said, well, let's take it to prose. It's kind of ambitious, a little more ambitious than a lot of the other stuff we're doing. First of all, it was alternating chapters. I was writing a chapter, Jeff was writing a chapter. We'd each picked a character to use as our point of view character for most of the storytelling, and we were taking a very realistic look at what it takes to be a hero and vigilantes, and, you know, and it was very decompressed. I mean, you see a lot of this in comics. It wasn't necessarily a new idea, but we were trying to take it that extra step and really take it and break it down as to why and would someone really choose to be costume vigilante.
Yeah. In the real world, what would cause someone to put on a mask and beat the crap out of criminals? You know, what would actually drive someone to do that? It was a neat idea.
Six months of brainstorming and, you know, really refining this story and characters changing.
And the way we decided to write it, we may not
be ready for it.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, the way we'd broken it up is that Josh would do all of the odd-numbered issues, and I had the even.
Yeah.
We switched somewhere in there, but yeah. Yeah, we would switch off every other issue, and we each had our own character, and eventually their stories would start to dovetail and mesh in between, and it was a really cool idea, and it's something that I think we'd still like to do with Solo down the road. But once we got onto the idea of doing ebook serials, it made more sense to jump straight to our own big epics that we'd wanted to do for so long. Mine is I would call it the sequel to Between Heaven and Hell, for those of you that have read my first novel, which is available on ereader.com, by the way. This picks up 200 years after the events in Between Heaven and Hell. And it starts with mankind's first contact with an alien species, which goes horribly wrong for reasons we don't understand, and kind of goes from there. And it's a big, sweeping epic. And by the end of it, you will understand more about Between Heaven and Hell, which has been a standalone novel for the last 7 years. It's kind of my Hobbit to Lord of the Rings. There's stuff, you know, there's like where the angels and demons came from in Between Heaven and Hell that will be illuminated in the Unification Chronicles. So I'm hoping it's going to be a lot of fun for my readers.
To put my two cents in, I know a lot of what's going to happen. I've talked to Jeff, and I've really talked through this story, and I'm excited to see how he pulls it off and how he brings it all to light.
There's no way in hell he can pull this off.
It's an ambitious tale, but I've read the first of all, however many issues. I mean, I don't know the first. I've read at least first eight.
I've got 19 done so far.
Yes, but that's
something else about serials is that it gives you the ability to, especially if you're a prolific writer like I am, it gives you the ability to kind of get ahead of the game. So you know, I'm 19. You know, we're going to start February 1st. That's when we're going to start. That's our semi-solid release date. And I've already got a year and a half worth of issues written. So if I hit a writer's block somewhere in there, I can still continue releasing these issues once a month, and the actual release date won't catch up to me. Josh isn't positioned as well.
Let me kind of tell you where I've come from on this. I have a lot of stories I want to tell, and it took me a while to focus on one story. I was developing several projects even while we were originally doing Heroes 101, I was looking at these other projects and trying to decide which one I wanted to do. And I tend to get
very involved with some of the
motivation.
I don't know if I'm ever going to actually kill the ghost in a way that makes him stay dead.
Well, yeah. I mean, so we both have a lot of projects we were working on, but I wasn't nearly as... First of all, I had gone away from prose, okay? I had, you know, looked at the publishing industry and said, you know, I don't want to fight that. I really have wanted to be a writer since I was 13, but I just, you know, I had other things I could do. I was very happy working with computers and working in the tech industry. So, you know, it was kind of a, well, you know.
I had a life, damn it.
But Jeff kind of brought me back to writing, and so I spent some time finding my series, the series I'm writing, and I still haven't decided whether I'm changing the series title. And actually, you guys feel free to let me know what you think of the title Atlantis Rising. And it's basically the story...
Which isn't at all cliched.
No, it was meant to be cliched. I mean, it's the series is very much modeled after serials in general, and has some very there's some very recognizable moments, but it's its own story. Basically, it's a story of one guy, Terrence Patton, who's kind of come across this clue to where Atlantis is, and has been searching for more of these clues for 20 years, and he's found small clues, and we open, you know, present day, and he's just found possibly the biggest clue ever, and one of the last clues to where Atlantis is and what Atlantis really was. And it's the story of that journey. He's got a lot of characters he works with. It's a very much an ensemble cast. And it's a lot of archaeological adventure, but eventually a little bit of fantasy and sci-fi thrown in there too. But that's the series I finally settled on.
It looks very cool if Josh can actually sit down and write it. Josh's problem is that he has other distractions to deal with.
Well, a pregnant wife, a job that's got a lot going on right now since I'm building an IT department from the ground up. We chose the perfect time.
Yeah, I used to have a job.
What? Yeah, I don't want to hear from you.
I used to have a job.
I don't want to hear from you. So, I mean, there's a lot going on, and sometimes it's a little hard to get focused on the writing, but I have been making some effort. But I will hit my monthly target. I can write an issue every 2 weeks once I figure out how to juggle my baby and my writing and my job all at once.
I so don't want to see that. I've watched you juggle.
Watch, I'm juggling right now.
I've watched. Josh and I met at CompUSA when he was working as a cashier and I was working as a salesperson, and he was known as the juggling cashier. He, when things were slow up on the front lanes, he would just grab some of these, you know, squishy tension relief balls and start juggling them. So, I'm a little worried about your
trial. Once I had done everything I possibly could on the front lanes, I had nothing to do but juggle, and I eventually became a manager. So apparently juggling.
Yeah, he juggled his way into a management position. So I guess the big question that we have for you, the audience, is what do you think of serials? Do you think that the idea of an ongoing story that may not even have an ending is something that you would want to read from month to month and get, you know, get attached to, get involved with? And as you're thinking about that, think about TV, because, you know, we're pulling as much from television as we are from comics. You know, a lot of this is, I've said before, I'm blatantly stealing from Cory Doctorow, but I've said before that it's not that we have shorter attention spans in the 21st century. It's that our attention spans have changed. No one sits down and reads War and Peace from cover to cover anymore. I'm not sure anyone ever really did. But people have no problem keeping the plot lines of their favorite TV shows in their head from week to week for months on end. You know, we've become a society capable of assimilating vast amounts of information, but in small quantities spread out over a long period of time. What we're doing is taking fiction and reframing it in that role. And I think it's going to be successful. I think
I think so too. I wouldn't be involved in this if I didn't think it was going to be successful. And I think the New York publishing houses
are going to be putting hits out on us within the year.
Well, okay, that's not very nice of them. I don't like being hit. I'm very fragile.
That is an interesting question. Before we sign off, just out of curiosity, Josh, how do you think, if Solo really takes off the way we think it's going to, if people really get into the idea of reading e-serials, and, you know, I'm already, you know, way into this idea. I consider myself a blogger and a serialist, rather than more traditional labels. But if this really takes off, what do you think the reaction from New York is going to be? How is this going to affect print publishing?
I think it'll do a couple of things. First of all, it'll open their eyes to e-books. Because there's not been... The biggest problem is they see, a few books do really well as e-books, but, you know, there's still those people who won't hold on, you know, who want to hold on to the paper, to the paper, period, you know. But the bottom line is I think that what it's going to do is...
You're talking about readers or are you talking about publishers?
I'm talking about the readers. I mean, there's still people out there who want to hold on to the concept of a paper book, of a paperback, a hardback. You know, they want to have that. They want to have it sitting on their shelf. But I think what it's going to do is it's going to make them see that there is an ongoing income to be had out there if you can find the right story and the right way to tell it. I think it'll give them a lot to think about, and I'm pretty sure they won't. If they adopt something similar, it won't be exactly like ours, but it'll be. I think I can see them adopting something. Know what I mean?
Okay, another question. Even though I said the last one was the last question, I have another question. My God, I'm turning into Columbo. Just one more thing, if you don't mind. One of the things I like about podcasting and blogging, and I think it even ties into the serial stuff, is the idea of community. You know, the idea that with a serial, your readers have an opportunity to converse with the author during the story, in the middle of the story. You know, with traditional novels, once a novel is written and published and out there, well, people can write your fan mail and say, I like this, I didn't like that, but there's nothing that you can do about it. With this, you actually can get feedback from your readers during the creative process. And, maybe down the road, the serial can turn to a direction you hadn't anticipated.
Well, I love that. I love the fact that this makes it... I would love it as a reader, and I definitely like it as a writer, because it gives the story a little more surprise, a little more life of its own, rather than just being, I plotted it out this way, and I mean, I've already fairly free about my plot anyway. I hit plot points, but not, I don't say, okay, in page one it's going to be like this, and page two is, so I really like that idea.
Already,
I really think it can do great things.
Yeah, in Unification Chronicles, already twice in the first 18 issues, the plot has veered sharply away from my original outline. When the characters came up with an idea that was better than what I had in mind, as a writer, you've got to be able to recognize those moments and go with them. I'm looking forward to seeing what my readers have to say, and I don't think that, yeah, and this will kind of go into the argument that Josh and I had last night about auteur directors, but I don't think that writing will ever be a truly collaborative environment. But I, yeah, I do think that 6 billion heads are better than one, and if, you know, if somebody's got some great ideas, I'd love to hear them. Maybe they'll work with the story, maybe they won't, but, you know, feedback is always good.
All right. Well, I do want to hit one last thing. Jeff knows what I'm going to talk about.
Uh-huh.
He's the one who pointed it out to me. Onion.com, TheOnion.com. I don't know how many of you read The Onion, but it is hilarious. You should definitely visit TheOnion.com. This is one of their news stories. The headline is, Iraq adopts terror alert system.
Now, you're going to start at the bottom, right?
Yeah, I'm going to start at the bottom. Iraq adopts terror alert system, okay? And it's basically a Homeland Security Advisory System, color-coded for Iraq.
Yeah.
Here's what they mean. Green is low. No major attack planned on your house in the next hour. Chance of being burned alive or decapitated, only 40%. Step 2, blue, unsettling. Some small weapons fire and scattered roadside bombing. Fair chance you will make it to the end of the day with all your limbs. 3, guarded. Significant risk of seeing your children blown up in front of you. 4, cryptic. Let me put it this way. I wouldn't take any long drives. Next, elevated. All vehicles assumed to be carrying bombs. All citizens assumed to be sniping. Obviously high. This isn't Disney World. It's Iraq. In progress. Terrorist attacks in progress. I don't know how they came up with that one. Pray for death. Expect fate worse than death.
What color is pray for death?
It is light pink.
Okay.
Nuclear. 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 Nuclear.
Nuclear.
However you want to say it. Frustrated Americans ending this thing once and for all. And last but not least, the dark purple. Paradise. Citizens rewarded for their piety and suffering. This is the kind of humor I love. It's hilarious, and this is right up there with a Letterman top 10. So you guys should definitely check out The Onion. They have stuff like this every day. So
I wonder if we'll adopt that now that Tom Ridge is gone.
Well, you know, it's possible, but I'm not so sure.
All right.
This has been Maximum Geek.
Well,
thanks for listening.
I think that just about drives this podcast into the ground. Like Josh said, thanks for tuning in, as it were, and we'll see you next time.